Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, and this is The Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, the 12th of June, 2012. Hope you're having a good day. The home of The Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, and we are also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, a station with great reach. We live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. And if you miss a portion of the show or you would like to stream it later on, we usually have the show posted on one of three websites by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. My website, buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com posts The Buckmaster Show, as does TucsonSentinel.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We lead off the show talking about our air quality here in Southern Arizona and what you can do to make it better. Then 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley, do you have a big smile on your face? Yeah, he's got a smile on his face. That means the market doing pretty well today. Half past the hour, we'll talk about older area residents going back to school. Yes, the baby boom generation wants to get more educated. Then we'll close out the show with an update on the reopening of many city pools here in Tucson. Doing very well. I think at last count, 6 pools were open through a public-private partnership. We'll find out all about that. If you would like to join in the conversation, please call us on the Buckmaster Show, live line 790-2040. If you have a question or a comment, that's the place to make those comments and questions. Also, you can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using our Facebook page. Pima County is getting high marks for our air quality. The American Lung Association's most recent report card on air quality gives Tucson better marks than many other major cities. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Beth Gorman. Beth is program manager for Pima County's Department of Environmental Quality. Good to see you, Beth.
Thanks, Bill. Good to see you, too.
When it comes to air quality, I know the American Lung Association likes Tucson over a lot of other cities, but I have to say the air quality with the dust and smoke from some area fires really has been, it's been a challenging spring, hasn't it?
It certainly has. And the data from this report was taken over a 3-year period, and it didn't include this year.
Thank goodness. If it had, it might have given us some different results. But we have most recently the smoke. There's been some smoke coming up from a fire below the Mexican border. And for a while there, we had smoke coming over from the fire in western New Mexico. However, that issue is pretty much behind us now. So hopefully, it's not just the smoke, it's been the wind.
We've had windy days since February and almost continuous. And it's highly unusual. We could always expect that in March we're going to have windy days because that's just always the way the weather's been. But this year it seems like every single month we've got days that have pretty high winds that are kicking up dust.
Let's talk about this report. It was it's titled State of the Air by the American Lung Association. Third straight year, Pima County earned an A rating.
Right, and that is for the very, very small particles that they're actually 2.5 microns or less in diameter, so very, very tiny. They tend to come from combustion sources, so we are seeing some of those now with the smoke from our motor vehicles, but also from a lot of manufacturing and industrial sources, and we don't have a lot of those in our community. So that may be one of the reasons why we do really well with that particular kind of pollutant. But also, I mean, I'd like to think that it's because we're all taking really good care of our vehicles and doing what we can to help keep the air healthy.
Yeah, and taking care of your vehicle is really important, isn't it, in the overall scheme of things?
Well, really, it's key. It'll save you money in the end, save you money also on the daily basis with using less gasoline. But about 60% of our air pollution is caused from our motor vehicle use. So whatever we can do to try to keep those cars as well-maintained as possible and then drive them as little as we can is really going to help.
And believe it or not, folks, checking the air pressure in your tires more than maybe once or twice a year is really important and key here. You handed me a flyer, and I couldn't believe how important really it is by keeping the air quality up.
I know.
Air pressure leads to better air quality.
And a lot of times people don't think about that link, but there's, if you just check your tires once a month, it's going to make a huge difference in many, many ways. One, you're going to get better gas mileage because your tire will drag less on the road, so your vehicle will need less energy to get going. But you're also, those tires are going to last a lot longer, so you don't have to buy new tires. And you're also, I mean, what we talk about, our landfill, we actually have a waste tire facility with Pima County where people bring their tires, and we've got 63,000 waste tires coming in a month, Bill.
Oh, my goodness.
And so those are, of course, recycled and made into other products, but that's a lot of waste. So, you know, by trying to take good care of our tires, we're going to also reduce the amount of air pollution that we create and the pollution on our planet, and it's going to be better for everybody.
Beth Gorman is with us, Program Manager for Pima County's Department of Environmental Quality. The new campaign that is kicking off, the Pima Association of Governments, the campaign is called Clean Air is Up to Me.
Yeah, this is exciting. We're working with PAG, or Pima Association of Governments, and we're working together to try to coordinate our air quality outreach. And, the whole slogan is so true, because the majority of our air pollution, as I said, is caused by things that we do on a daily basis. Obviously, we do, when we've got windy days, we're going to get some dust kicked up by natural sources. But there's so much that we can do on an individual basis to help keep the air healthy to breathe. And our community has a lot of people who are at risk. We've got a lot of children. We've got people with asthma, emphysema. We've got a lot of elderly people who are very sensitive on the days that we do have high pollution levels. So it's going to be wonderful for our community to really get this education out.
Yeah, and that dust really plays havoc with the sinuses, too.
It does.
Pima County, for the second straight year, had a C rating for the ozone pollution. That's formed by the chemical reactions in the atmosphere from raw gases coming from tailpipe, smokestacks, and other sources. So Pima County doing sort of average in that area, but certainly better than our friends up north. Phoenix got an F.
Yeah, and they've been having a lot of high pollution advisories this summer, too. And it is a summertime air pollutant because it needs the intensity of the sun and the heat in order to form. And it's, again, there are lots of different things that we can do to help reduce those emissions. But the key is this ozone pollution, we're very, very close to the federal health standard. And we actually had a day this year, this summer, where we hit that standard. We didn't go over the standard, but we hit it. So we're very, very close to having problems with that pollutant. And right on that edge, it's a good thing for us to try to keep that in mind and try to drive as little as we can and keep our vehicles well-maintained.
So we certainly have a problem looming, perhaps a big problem with ozone pollution.
Right.
But nationally, Tucson had the fourth lowest level of kind of year-round particulate pollution among the areas that were studied. So that's pretty good.
Right. It is. It's excellent. And of course, we're competing with communities that have a lot of industrial sources. We don't here, but it's still a very good thing. And it's important, especially for a community our size. I mean, we're tickling 1 million people. I know they were talking about that we hit that, but I think that's population's gone down a little bit now.
With the economy, yeah.
Right. But it's really, we need to pat ourselves on the back that we've done a really good job in keeping our air as clean as it is. And hopefully that will continue in the future.
A lot of people are using their bicycle to get to work and to school. And you have an event coming up, I think it's this Saturday, isn't it?
It is this Saturday. Yeah, we're working with organizations around town, one called Living Streets Alliance, that's trying to get people to think about using bicycles and streets more than just for cars, but for people to enjoy and to, again, try to get out of their cars once in a while. This event is it's going to be lots of fun. And it's kind of geared towards people like me who are timid riders. I mean, I have a bike and I've fixed it up, especially for this event. But I kind of cruise around my neighborhood, maybe go to the grocery store. But
don't venture beyond.
No, because, yeah. You know, I'm a little nervous about that. Right. So this is going to be a group ride. We're going to start from the U of A, from Old Main, and then we're going to go downtown. And there's actually going to be the side of a building is going to become a movie screen, and we're going to show a movie. It's a fashion movie, actually. Bill Cunningham from the New York Times, one of their fashion editors, is a documentary about him. He rides around his bike in New York City and takes great photographs of some of the wonderful outfits that people wear in the city. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're hoping that people will get involved and come down and have fun and hopefully think about riding their bikes a little bit more during their lives.
Have we made tremendous progress in that regard since you first started with the county in 1990 as far as bike awareness and people getting involved with the bikes?
We have, as a community, and I have to also praise the city of Tucson, their Department of Transportation, and the resources that have become available to put in bike paths, sidewalks, the Loop, which is a county pathway that goes
all over. Yeah, that's come on board recently, too.
Right. Eventually, it'll be 55 miles of a car-free pathway. So I think all of these jurisdictions working together has really helped improve bicycling in our community.
Beth Gorman, thank you very much. And that event is this Saturday, called Bike in Movie. It begins at the U of A Mall at what time?
At 6:30, the ride starts. But if you want to just come downtown and meet us downtown, just south of Broadway near Stone, you can do that too at about 7:30.
Beth Gorman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we like this gentleman, Shelley Fishman. He is our certified financial planner for the Buckmaster Show. Shelley, good to see you.
Hey, Bill.
You know, yesterday was kind of a weird day on the market.
Kind of.
I mean, the market should have done better than it did because of some news about Europe was looking a little better.
You know, I heard this on Sunday, and I said, well, the market's going to have a super day on Monday, and it opened up, and then it went really wild, and then at some point I lost track of the day, and I just took a look at the computer at around, 1 or 1:30, and what did happen?
What happened?
I have no idea.
Yeah, but we're back. Are we back?
We are back today. So we're back today about where we were on Friday. So, for the year, we're up on the Dow about 2.7%, and we're actually up about almost 6% on the S&P. So we're back where I said we were going to be, which means that I can go home and take off the rest of the year.
We are on track for the Shelley Fishman prediction of the market being up about 6%.
About 6% is what I said for the year.
And does this guy have a track record, folks? You bet he does. He has been very, very accurate over the last how many years, Sean?
It's been 3 or 4, but my compliance people would prefer that you say lucky.
Oh, can I say fortunate?
You can say fortunate. Okay. That works too.
Shelley, let's talk about portfolios because this is the kind of the year where this seesaw market that people are thinking, well, I wonder if my portfolio is up to speed in this kind of an environment. What's a portfolio really should be looking like these days?
Well, my feeling right now is, unless you're a 35-year-old who can live through all of this and not worry about it. My strong suggestion is that a portfolio be biased toward a very defensive and conservative approach right now. That said, Bill, there's a lot of discussion in my business right now about what a portfolio should look like and whether classical or what they call modern portfolio theory, and you'll sometimes hear the acronym MPT, if that really means anything anymore. And without getting too technical, because believe me, it's very technical, what modern portfolio attempts to do is say, for any given risk tolerance and time horizon, is there not an ideal allocation or mix of equities and bonds and cash that will protect you on the upside or give you opportunity on the upside and defend you on the downside in an optimal way. And throughout the 90s, when we finally got kind of handheld computing capacity that could really look at these kinds of mathematical formulae and calculate them in a practical way. Most of the people in my business really adhered to this whole idea that there was an optimal way to build a portfolio. Nobody is quite so certain anymore. And the reason is that a lot of optimal or modern portfolio theory depends on being able to take any two given things you might own and calculate how closely they're correlated. Well, it turns out all those calculations that were, you know, traditional over the period of, say, 1970, 1980 through about 2000, 2005, all of those things have broken down. And now things that used to move kind of in a seesaw, when one is up, the other is down, they don't move that way anymore. Not only that, the volatility that we get from day to day, like a day like today,
right,
where ordinarily you would see stocks go up, so bonds go down, but the force, the momentum of the movement in one direction or another pulls everything along with it. So that and globalization and all of these other factors, not to be, you know, put too fine a point on it, have made the theorists take a look at modern portfolio theory and say, if we can calculate the basis for MPT, namely correlation, then how can we even correlate or make a stab at what they call the efficient, you know, the efficient frontier, which is the ideal place to put a client's portfolio. That said, it means that today, when divining or designing, and some people do either one, designing a portfolio, you really have to err on the side of conservative preference.
You know, and this modern portfolio theory, I would think that you still need to be, it has to be very individually suited.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it can't be kind of like, yes, the theory's great, but it cannot be a cookie cutter approach.
Right. You know, if you had a cookie cutter approach, then everybody would have the same portfolio.
They'd all have an MPT.
Right. And but whether you have ABC Widget Company or XYZ Widget Company in your portfolio, the idea that it's, say, a large cap value stock and that is going to have a certain performance with relation to the indices that track it, and also certain performance in relation to other stocks that are either highly or less correlated with it. So, you know, you do tend to get, even though it sounds formulaic, you do tend to get a broad array of divergence from person to person to person. That said, all of the research right now is scratching its head and saying, we're just not sure it works.
You have to play defense to a certain extent.
Yeah, you know, in a market like this, you really do. You know, you've got a GDP that's growing, but growing at something between 1.5% and 2%. And we don't build models for that kind of growth. We build models for normal growth. And normal growth is north of 3%.
Talking with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, we've been discussing in his industry, a lot of people have been talking about this modern portfolio theory. But when it comes down to the basic, when you're talking to a client, you're looking at really individual.
I am. I'm looking to present my view of what would be good for them and then test their comfort level and their degree of ease and comfort with what I'm saying, because that's going to, you know, I believe what I'm saying is sound, therefore it'll produce a good result. But most importantly, it's going to produce a client who can sleep at night, who feels confident that their portfolio is being managed in an appropriate way for them.
Yeah, we've talked about it before, that if the market has a horrible day, it shouldn't be really something you're going to lose sleep about.
Right.
if you've cushioned it properly.
Right. But you know, you get so many of these portfolio managers who you know, slap your parameters into a computer program and it manages itself, and the computer makes decisions, and you know, I've just seen so many of those that just haven't worked out, because the amount of judgment, individual judgment, that you can exercise as an advisor or as a client is minimal.
Where can folks get a hold of you?
795-7950.
There is also a live link on buckmastershow.com. Shelley's got a link to Shelley's website with really all of the Buckmaster Show sponsors. We have live links for all of them. And you're at Pyramid Credit.
I am. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, the best credit union in town. And we should probably quickly mention, starting 2 weeks, for 2 weeks, we'll be live from Russia.
Yeah, it's going to be really a lot of fun, and we appreciate you staying up late in Russia so you can report to us. That starts 2 weeks from today. Shelley, have a great week.
Bill, you too.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. One of the prosecution's key witnesses has taken the stand at the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse trial in Pennsylvania. Roger Clemens' attorneys have attacked the credibility of the former pitcher's chief accuser in closing arguments at Clemens' perjury trial in Washington. Attorney General Eric Holder is brushing aside Republican demands that he name a special counsel outside of the Justice Department to look into national security leaks. Taking a look at Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, stocks are higher. The Dow's up about 130 points at 12,541. The NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 25 points. And the S&P 500 Index is trading 11 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Kolb Road extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:33 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Well, one of our continuing focus segments on the Buckmaster Show is aging and the impact on the baby boom generation. Our segment on aging is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. And today we'll be focusing on older adults going back to school. In fact, 78 million baby boomers approached retirement this past year. Many of them have decided to hit the books. In a recent survey by U.S. News and World Report, found that the number of college students aged 40 to 64 increased nearly 20% to almost 2 million in the last decade. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Chicago is Gail Morgan, a vice president for Mather Lifeways, the parent company for Splendido at Rancho Vistoso. Gail is an expert on aging issues, and usually she joins us once a month to discuss such matters. Gail, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
Doing real well. And lots of folks in the baby boom generation deciding, hey, maybe going back to school would be a good idea. Why are they returning, Gail?
You know, they seem to be returning for a variety of reasons. Some of them, literally those younger boomers, are going with their children. Some of them are sending their kids to college, and it's like, oh, maybe I will take advantage and go to college too. Then again, some have finally got those children through college, and they're like, it's my turn. It's my turn now to pursue the career that I put on hold while I raised my family, or just to go back and learn more. You know, it seems today's retiree has more time, and many of them have more dollars to actually pursue the passions and the interests that they didn't have time to investigate. And one of the places they start is often colleges and education to go that route.
And, you know, a lot of them are looking at perhaps a different career entirely, and that would be a place to get information about that back to school.
Yes, many of them are going for the second career. You know, they may have retired after a 30, 35-year career, and now they're thinking, gosh, now I want to go into real estate, or I want to go into financial planning. And to get to that, they need additional education. So the school is the first stop on that step. There's also one of the things that we're seeing is the older adult retiree who is really just passionate about learning of any sort on any topic. For example, at Splendido, the group of residents got together and they started almost their own in-house college. It's called Splendido's Intellectual Pursuits Program. You can take a course on the Civil War, or you can take a course on the economy. So they actually brought that college-type environment to them because they just thirst for, you know, so many topics that they want to discover.
And that's a great opportunity for these people to learn a new subject, or are there really that they have thought all their life, well, maybe I'd like to learn more about or learn a language. Perhaps I'd like to learn French, and they just really hadn't had the time, but this would be a great opportunity. How does that program work, that Intellectual Pursuits Program?
Do you know, they query their fellow neighbors and say, what topics do you have an interest in? And if there is at least a handful of folks with a topic, for example, you know, relearning the details of the Civil War or economic or financial planning, then they go out and they find certified education. If there is a cost, then they share the cost equally. And the educators come right there to Splendido. So you just walk down the hall to the classroom. And oftentimes what we're seeing is that some of the reason that older adults aren't going back to school is because they're a bit intimidated about, you know, going back to that campus setting and navigating the campus. And so if they can find a setting that brings the education to them, it takes most of their concerns out of play.
And some older adults perhaps would be worried, as you say, about navigating the campus and maybe worried that they may be the oldest student in the college classroom.
Yeah, and you know what? They really may be the oldest student in the college classroom, but that's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes you have the naysayers saying, oh, you don't want to be the oldest person, or the professors won't have patience with you. And really what we've discovered by talking to the people that have gone back to school, that's not the case. If they are the oldest person in the classroom, well, somebody has to be. You know, that could be a 30-year-old or an 80-year-old. But we've also heard many stories about the fact that, yes, you know, here I am, I'm 75, and my professor's 40, and we have very different life experiences. But as opposed to that professor being impatient with me, they really valued the perspective I brought to the classroom. And the other students who, you know, could be your grandchild, and really appreciated the life experience and the perspective that you brought to the classroom. In one instance, one of our residents said, you know, the professor almost partnered with me. He so embraced me in the classroom. So some of the naysayers that go, you don't want to be the oldest one in the class, or the professors won't have patience, that's rarely the case.
Yeah, I think that the wisdom that the older adult would bring to the classroom would be a real asset, Gail Morgan. What about affordability, Gail, and the cost of tuition increasing at many universities?
It definitely is. You know, depending upon why the older adult wants to go back to school, if they're trying to just fulfill a quest of knowledge, or they're not actually in pursuit of that degree, a community college may be the best answer for them. A, it's smaller, it's easier to navigate, you usually can park closer, the classroom is smaller, but also the cost is going to be significantly less than a four-year university. Second is, if they really just are seeking information, the seniors may want to consider online. You can either audit a class online, or you can just take the class online. Those are almost always less expensive than a university or the community college. But you also can look at auditing a class at the community college or a university. That, too, is also less expensive than actually being a full-time enrolled student.
I wonder about technology, if that could be kind of scare off some older adults.
Well, it could, especially for if they were to consider online. You know, an online student must know how to download, upload, chat room, email. So that's probably where you need to be the most technologically savvy. However, if you want to audit a class and you still want to go to the library to do your research, and by golly, if you want to use that typewriter, that's fine. Basic skills, basic computer word processing skills, email skills is recommended. And if that's intimidating, that may be the first spot you want to start. Maybe a computer class is where you're going to take your very first back-to-school class.
And you really don't, if you're not worried about a degree, there are all sorts of opportunities, I guess, where you could audit a class, correct, Gail?
Yes, the auditing is great. There's even something that I just discovered called OpenCourseWare, where you can audit a class online. You have all the materials, you get the research, you even get the videos of the lectures. You just don't have access to the teacher. So you could audit a class in person. You don't have to take the test. You don't get the grade. You don't pay the full tuition. Or you could access all of that information and fulfill that need for knowledge that you're after by doing it right there in your own house, doing it online.
And, you know, we're learning more and more about the human brain and how important, Gail Morgan, it is to learn a new skill and to keep your mind active. And it's not just about crossword puzzles. It's about really learning about an entirely new subject.
You know, learning that new subject can do not just make you feel more engaged and excited, but it truly is good for your brain. You know, we all should do something new, at least, you know, monthly, something new, whether it's take a new route home or you know, read a new book on a new topic. And we have every day we hear about how that's going to keep our brain active and engaged. And so the education is something we should never, ever let go of.
And Gail Morgan is with us from Splendido, and Splendido has this award-winning program, Intellectual Pursuits Program, and it's very popular, isn't it?
It's very popular, and it's hard to describe because every time we get it going, there's new topics, like I said, from something as dry to some of us as, you know, foreign literature to the Civil War to, you know, writing prose. It can be a variety of things, and the residents at Splendido guide the program and created the program and brought it right to their neighborhood. So it's, of course, so popular because you don't have to even get in your car to take a class.
All right, Gail Morgan, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Gail Morgan from Splendido. You can find out more about Splendido on their website, SplendidoTucson.com. buckmaster.com. Coming up now on 12:44 on the Buckmaster Show, and we've been speaking about older adults and the baby boom generation. Well, what about taking something like water aerobics in a pool? That's coming up, along with opening new pools in Tucson. Stay with us.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:46. If you're looking for a cool weekend getaway, consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, and that fire in the Gila Wilderness area is not impacting Silver City, where the air quality is still good and the mile-high elevation makes for beautiful mild days and cool nights this summer. So check out more about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. And this portion of the Buckmaster Show also brought to you by Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. Adobe House Antiques, located in that beautiful Josias Josler design building from about 1947. It's located at 2700 North Campbell, just north there of Plaza Liquors. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Well, the city council here in Tucson has lifted the 25-year ban on Parks and Recreation Department from soliciting sponsorships and advertising, thanks to Doug Martin, the owner of Good News Communications, which owns this radio station, KVOI, and other folks who stepped up. The city has been able to bring back the splash with the opening of 6 more swimming pools this summer. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is John Sefton, Deputy Director of Tucson Parks and Recreation. John, thanks for being with us.
Bill, thanks for having me. We're excited to be here.
Tell me about what Doug's role was in getting the ball rolling on this.
Well, I'll tell you, and as I've heard, there's a good story behind that involvement, and it was a brief discussion between Councilmember Fimbres, Doug, and Rick Sturtz that really seeded the conversation about getting our summer swimming pools back open and available to our community.
This was an economic issue. I think, how many pools were actually closed? Was there almost a dozen pools?
Well, our inventory includes 27 swimming pools. Our summer swimming pools group was about 17. So 17 of those summer operations, 10 operate year-round or nearly year-round. And so we have a good aquatics program throughout the year, but those 17 swimming pools mean a big difference to the neighborhoods and to the children and to the community members in those areas.
So how many still have not opened? So is there some room for some more public-private partnerships?
There definitely is room for more partnerships. We have a number of issues from a staffing issue, and that's the financial side, to operate. We have to have trained lifeguards on staff. They're the ones that truly ensure the cleanliness, the orderliness, and the safe environment for youth and adults. The infrastructure as well. There's a number of opportunities for businesses to partner with us to redevelop, if you will, the infrastructure of some of these pools. So we're going to constantly need this arm reaching out to the private sector and to work to develop the relationship and open up these recreational amenities to the community.
Because there is a cost involved, right?
By all means.
Can you give us a rough idea of what kind of money we're talking about?
The operation of each of the swimming pools can range between $50,000 to $60,000 just for a summer operation. So these summer pools, and that's just the lifeguarding side of opening and having the facilities safe. That partnership and the number that we've had this year has afforded us the ability to open 6 additional pools this summer. They opened last week. And kids are swimming, enjoying the days, and they're learning how to swim, which is another key element of our programming. There's exercise classes, there's swim teams.
Yeah, we were just talking about, as you listened to our interview with Gail Morgan, we were talking about older Arizonans who want to go back to school or learn something new, and I would certainly think that the aqua aerobics would fall into that category.
Absolutely. We've got a great program of education on the fitness side, lap swimming. Swimming is just definitely a lifelong sport. When you see some of the mom and tot swim lessons that are going on when the babies are out there at 6 months old, and some of the activities that truly become life-sustaining and life-enhancing, those aqua aerobics classes. Water walking, which is such a lesser impact on the fragile joints of some of our older citizens. The heated pools that we have at the Edith Ball Adaptive Recreation Center. There's so many great things to explore in the swimming activity. And again, the partnership that we've experienced has opened up 6 additional pools this year. And as we roll into the next season, we hope to expand that even further.
Is it too late for some of the kids to get involved with some of your programs? Did they have to be on board at the just when the pools open, or are there opportunities all summer now?
Well, one of the best aspects of the summer program is that pools are open. And open swim gives the kids the ability to come in and play and to have fun, use the slides and the high dives and the different amenities at the numerous different pools. Swim lessons, we've been very blessed. The swim lessons this year were sponsored by Chief Villasenor, who utilized some of the RICO funding to offset the cost of implementing the swim lesson program. This year we have over 4,800 kids already registered for the 4 different sessions. So we've got about 1,300 kids out there right now learning how to swim, and we'll have 2-week sessions every 2 weeks following. That was a huge opportunity for the chief to step up and recognize and truly honor the benefit of the public-private partnership that Doug and Rick and the others have really put forth for us.
John Sefton is with me in studio. John is the deputy director of the Tucson Parks and Rec Department. Of course, John, we've all been hearing about the tough times the city has had financially. That really had and continues to impact, doesn't it, Tucson Parks and Rec, the budgetary problems?
You know, it's been a quite a wild ride. I've been with the department just nearly 5 years, and I think every year we've had some pretty major budgetary reductions. I'd estimate it at about 20% reduction. I think any business that is out there, we were a $50 million operation. This next year we're going to be at $40 million. You make that type of a reduction in financial resources, you're going to have some major impacts on the services available to the community. We have stringently tried to be disciplined and focused on leveling out where we make those reductions. The city has lost 250 full-time equivalent employees, and that's just in our Parks and Recreation Department. And that's a lot of man hours when you consider what it takes to run the 4,000 acres of parklands that we have, the 27 swimming pools, the 17 recreation centers. Each of those disciplines has suffered a reduction in that level of service. We're starting to inch back. We've gone through a lot of different changes, and the inspiration behind this public-private partnership with the Bring Back the Splash campaign really just gives us an opportunity to expand further. We've got a great partnership with the Tucson Parks Foundation. They are our 501c3 arm whose sole benefit is to help benefit Parks and Recreation Services. They are promoters of the $1 million hole-in-one contest in February-March timeframe. And they've been a real benefit to the department and contributed over $3 million over the past several years to help make our parks better.
Is that a good starting place then to find out more about how the public can get involved through the Parks Foundation group?
Absolutely. The Parks Foundation.
They have a website or that you could give us, or where can people get more information?
Absolutely. www.tucsonparks.org.
Okay, so that would be a good starting place. If there's a business perhaps that would like to, are you looking at with naming rights even with some of the ball fields and things like that?
Absolutely. We're exploring virtually every opportunity. And if businesses have ideas, more than willing to reach out, sit down, have a discussion. Just like that conversation that Rick Sturtz and Doug Martin and Councilman Fimbres had back in the day that really inspired the Bring Back the Splash campaign. It's those initial discussions that help us build better community. We're more than willing to sit down with groups and, our philanthropic groups as well, the Catalina Rotary Club and the Emerald Foundation were major contributors to this campaign. They recognize the importance of inspiring people to take action and get involved. And there's a lot of opportunities, and we're more than willing to sit down and make things happen.
Yeah, because it is not just the swimming pools. You do have the ball fields. You were mentioning, there's 4,000 acres that are under your tutelage.
it's a very big
park system.
It's
a big park system.
And we're a big city, and we need to recognize that and recognize the needed resources that come into that or need to go towards that. Parks make Tucson better. The fact that we have so many open green space areas, that we have so many different activities that are utilized at those parks, whether it's soccer or softball or baseball, the number of different sports that are active sports, there's also very special places just to go and relax or get a walk. The pathways and the trailways that we have throughout the community are significant investments and a significant benefit to the community's health, wellness.
And I know you're trying to maintain these parks, and it is a challenge, isn't it, the maintenance with these facilities?
Absolutely. There's a number of issues out there right now, from vandalism to copper wire theft, that continue to haunt us and struggle. But our staff are dedicated. We've got a lot of strategy ahead of us to be able to keep up the investment in these community assets. But we're underway, and that's what we're working on.
So we've got six new pools. There are pools that would have been shut down if it hadn't been for Doug Martin and others in the community coming forward. And that's really, really going to make a difference in thousands of lives. And how important, I mean, we can't overestimate the children getting swim lessons, how critical that is, the safety issues.
Absolutely. Every year we see way too many deaths as a result of not being able to swim. And while swimming isn't an easy skill to learn, it is easy to access and to be able to put children into those swimming lessons, whether it be our public system or some of the other private offerings as well. The critical nature of being around water, whether it be a neighborhood pool, a community pool, or even out in the wild with some of our great lakes that we have out there. Children must learn how to swim, and we must be able to give access to the community to conduct those swim lessons.
In the future, are you looking for more pools to open up? Maybe not this summer, but for next summer?
Right. This summer, we are staffed. We're complete on our plan. We're going to get through the 8 weeks of this summer, but mm-hmm. We invite everybody to visit the TucsonParks.org. We've got opportunities for people to make contributions regularly. Right online. And folks are doing that at a $10 at a time to a $10,000, and a $25,000 donation has even come in.
John Sefton, thank you very much. John is the Deputy Director of Tucson Parks and Rec Department. Certainly go online. We urge everyone to go online and look at all the wonderful offerings that you have, not only for the children, but for older adults who want to get in the pool. It's great exercise. I try to do a little swimming myself every day if possible. Good exercise, right, John?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up now on 59 past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, we want to remind everyone that the bottled water that we use here is provided by Culligan, and we thank them very much for that, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. They have all sorts of water softeners, water filtration systems. And what is the difference with Culligan? Well, I have to tell you honestly, it tastes better, simply tastes better. Also, the Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants. If you're looking for a CPA, and it doesn't just have to be tax season, small businesses need a CPA all year round. 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be back with you tomorrow at 12:04 with another edition right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.